agenda item number 3 is the public comment portion. And I have cards here, and I'm going to call the first person to the microphone, Nora Hitchcock.
People know or may not know about the Pier 1 respite that has been provided to the community. I believe, I know that we were talking about it, CIT committees, some different committees, and I'm not sure because I think that was executive director in 2016, but since 2016 myself, and then it was approved, and we've been grateful and thankful to the community for it. It was originally funded by Milwaukee County. At the time, I was kind of notified by the Behavioral Health Division that was coming, that there was a state GFO for that program. We applied for it, and now we've been state respite providing services since 2021, I believe. The state funding, though, kind of found out, I'm not understanding where that funding came from the very beginning. It was explained clearly. Was actually an ARPA or a grant. That grant's come to an end as of next year, that's June of 2025. So I'm kind of being proactive and circling back to the original funders, which was Milwaukee County. Just to say that there will not be grant at this point, state folks that there's not, and they're looking for that as well. But I'm here to actually ask Milwaukee County to continue the Pier 1 respite, those funds or not. I then don't go by with the state or any other grant. I've been looking around myself. Right now, there's nothing out there that's fallen in our wheelhouse for us to apply for. And so I'm here just to, again, tell you all what's going to happen. And just give you a little bit of the numbers. So far, we've served 1,032 guests. There's a cost savings since 2019 of $17 million, and that's what our overhead costs, $17 million we saved. Primarily the county, because our population that attended from the state over the last few years has only been 1% of that, so about 28 individuals. We're definitely needed. We heard that we're shut down. We just actually need the locations. But, you know, crisis services, we are considered essential for the crisis service team. There is an impact on that. We have high utilizers, and we divert a lot of those high utilizers, or individuals that are just a little extra support from having to actually be hospitalized or end up, you know, incarcerated or other situations that are, that could be my best interest. So I've left everybody a packet with a little bit of information. I appreciate y'all's time. Again, that funding ends June of 2025. There is a GFO for state funding again, but they're out at this time telling us there's only going to be 3 facilities that are going to be able to receive the funding for that. There's probably about, I know myself, and there's another resident that's also under ARPA funding, but there's already 3 state residents that will probably go through that GFO route. That will not even be a factor until 2027. So I'm looking at least like a year and a half, almost 2-year gap with not knowing what will happen at that time. I will say, and there's some information in here that shows that we're the biggest county out of the state. We also we have the highest population surrounding our county. We are like 37% of the population of Wisconsin, just right here in the southeast region with the surrounding counties. I feel confident that the state's been understanding that we need it here in Milwaukee County, but I can't promise anything. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Nora.
Thank you, Nora. Speaker number 2 is Sandy Schultz.
I guess in the shorthand, I'm here to ask for more funding for those with a serious mental illness who don't realize that they're sick, or if knows yet. And now I'm going to back up a little bit. My son is 40. He has been in the system a very long time. It used to be that he would go into the county, we'd get help, he'd be admitted, he'd be stabilized, he'd be on a commitment to take his meds. A caseworker would come twice a week and see him, and the commitment would be renewed, and it had been renewed, and he was stable. Now I'm hearing something different. Let me see what else. And then also there was really good security at the county hospital. And I'm not sure that that is transferring to the private hospitals. And also they knew here that the escalation. I guess I'm really concerned mainly about those who need involuntary treatment. Like my son would say, someone's poisoning my food. I think I'm the only place to remember mom. If anything happens, it's not your fault. I'm going to take a hatchet to my little brother's head. Those kind of things. So those are the kind of people that I think are being dropped right now. It seems like there's a catch-22 situation where they have to meet such a high standard of dangerousness that it's allowed to go on so long that they become a danger, and then they're taken to jail instead of being treatment. So it's really a catch-22 and kind of a no-win. I did read an article. This is from the Valley State Newsletter by Dr. Joshua Bowen, Medical Director of the Heritage Adult Psychiatry. I just want to read a little bit of it because I think it's germane. In Wisconsin, when a patient is not willing to accept treatment voluntarily, there is an extremely high threshold before the law requires them to receive treatment against their will. And then Dr. Harry says, unfortunately, it's very common for the judicial system, especially in areas like Dean County and Milwaukee County, to dismiss these cases. So I think our two counties really need a lot of help, especially with involuntary people who need involuntary treatment. So I guess I would like to also see if we could be more in line with the other counties. So that we don't have people on the streets, we don't have people in jail, and we don't have families who are extremely stressed with someone who is untreated and psychotic. Also now I'm hearing that officers must wait in their squad cars for that may have for someone that is under Chapter 51 to be admitted, that involuntary commitments are being dropped just as the patients are stabilized after 6 months. And I also have a few things, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I'd like to have some data about Milwaukee, MPEG, and Grand Hills, because I think we need data in order to understand how well the system is working. And I don't know if you guys do that or if I need to go somewhere else. And county patients are being refused because they're all at hospitals now, so they can refuse. How many patients are being refused because they're too sick? How many sick beds are in the county? Research suggests about 30 to 50 beds per 100,000 people. And then also, if the Medical Health Board can have an email address so that we can email you if we have a question. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy. Third speaker will be Rita Wisniewski.
Excuse me, Jen?
Yes.
We all have email addresses. Our veteran has an email address that works, though.
You all have a Milwaukee County address, Mary, is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Yes. So the cadence of the email address from Milwaukee County is the person's first name dot last name at milwaukeecountywi.gov.
There is a hyperlink on the website for the Mental Health Board, and that ends up getting transmitted, I believe, to one of our support staff. We're in the process of filling our committee clerk position, but historically that individual monitored that so that they get a notice, and then because people email that link with all kinds of questions, and so we do get that to the chair or to the correct committee that does get routed appropriately to the board. And that's on there's a Mental Health Board page at the Milwaukee County page. If you Google Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, I believe it gets you there.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to double check that email address for you right now and make that announcement. Thank you. Sorry. Speaker number three, Rita Wisniewski.
Yes. Thank you. She's been escalating, and she's texting the problem conclusions, and believing things that just aren't true. She has been here without a court order in May, rummaged around, and stole some money, and got a $2, which she's now getting evicted from with the court order. Her 1-year-old daughter in December rummaged around in May, and her mom's telling her that'll take us to heaven tonight. And $2 is giving me money this since the beginning of January, and she's living pretty well. She's pretty resilient. But when I was on the house, her mom and she said, does Rita have an outlet behind her ear? Because she needs to charge her battery at night, because she's a robot, she's a computer. She's stealing her money and just spent a bunch of untrue things. On January 29th, she came to my house. And that person would lay down. She threw a blanket out of her window and glass shattered over her couch. And my mom was home, but not in the room. She's telling the police that KKK was bad about us because we weren't doing things right for them, and they left the bricks right there in front of the house. My husband puts it on the cover so that the cover doesn't fall away, covering our roses. So they told the KKK told her to get back at me and throw the brick in my window. Another reason she did it was because we've been throwing bricks in her establishments, like nightclubs and places where she hangs out. Obviously, not true. If I had covered her that day, that of course released 2 days later because no one was in the living room. You know, my mom was in the back room, and I told her, I was on the phone with my mom when I heard the breaking glass and said, Mom, just stay in the back room, don't go into the door. So, immediately I filed a restraining order, and it was granted. Because, as some of you heard from the last story, she had threatened in January to cut my throat and kill over her daughter. And she was showing up to the school where her daughter is. So an eviction was ordered and given to the sheriff last Wednesday. My three-party petition did succeed, the order was given to the sheriff last Thursday. My sister is still not evicted and detained, and I've been calling the sheriff many times saying, please coordinate the two things together and call me when you're about to do this so I can assist in some way. I've heard from neighbors that this week, yesterday, she was wearing a summer dress with no shoes, walking around the neighborhood. Today, this afternoon, guys had a call from my neighbor that the neighbors called fire trucks because she started a fire in the backyard with black smoke. It's a very tiny backyard, and I went to Duplex. And I realized she probably doesn't have heat, electricity, or water, because she can't pay. Her utilities. She can't function well enough to work. So I'm worried about the next steps. She needs a lengthy voluntary commitment that I don't know what the judge will decide, and we'll see how that goes. Maybe they said they have that kind of threshold for getting committed again. So I hear the stories about people getting out, going back, getting out, getting back, everything out, getting out. I just pray that she gets through the 6 months and I can help her somewhat, but she will never be 100% again. And especially when you're having to hit that high threshold and not getting the proper help that she could have gotten in the last 2 years, she might have not gotten this bad. She might just end up being another homeless delusional person on the street, and that's her mom, and she's got 11-year-old. The dad died a year ago, so she won't be able to maybe be with her. And she'll need a place to live if she does feel better, or even if she doesn't, if she'll need support. So again, people with serious mental illness, they don't believe they're sick. She doesn't think she's sick. So we need funding for proper staffing and for mental health providers at the NCAP and wherever we need them, and we need funding for inpatient beds because I've heard that we don't have enough. And we need funding for living facilities for these people so that they're not going in and out, in and out of the system and using up our resources that could be used elsewhere. So that's what I got today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. I'm just going to confirm for the audience that there is an email address that is MHB, three letters that stands for Mental Health Board, but it's MHB@MilwaukeeCountyWI.gov. And while the position is open right now, Jenny, sitting to my right, is monitoring that email address. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, our fourth speaker today is Sarah Cooney.
That's been very helpful, but talking has been valuable, and also the acting that has been, well, he's on the waiting list for an acting. Psychiatrist is either going to release him to an acting so he can come back home with me and watch us out for he'll have the transfer to trouble itself in 4 hours away. At the end, I just want the best outcome, so whatever that would be for him. The lack of beds seems like a trial. I'm just reading now on the same consequences, so I need to check in this one. It's a great book. It talks about where we could put funding for the seriously mentally ill, especially with people that have the amnesia, that have an insight into their illness. I suggest that I'm sure you probably and yeah, that was nice. And also in this book, I didn't know that NQP doesn't fund for, doesn't give people that have a lot of inpatient at state hospitals, it doesn't work on the body. So I don't know that in this book right now. That seems like a huge problem because that people's serious mental illnesses are unable to work. And then maybe forced into community centers where the guidelines are, you're going to be kicked out if you are doing something because you're carrying risks, you're seeing things that you become aggressive or violent, which can happen. And also, that doesn't make sense to me, so that's interesting to read. I don't know too much into how difficult it was to get involuntarily hospitalized, but the immediate danger to yourself and others, and that's the budget meeting, and as many people, that's a huge problem. If we could take the immediate step
getting people help and just maybe a need for treatment, and you should also help families to intervene more and maybe not need so many like services that there's just they're doing this. There's a waiting list for a recruiter to be on an act team. So, I'll be more prepared next time.
Thank you, Sarah. That's the last person who handed in a comment card. Is there anybody else in the audience that wanted to step up? Okay, our fifth speaker is Rick Schultz.
Fort Bucks, Brandon Hills, and I want to encourage you to review your contract with Granite Hills. They are privately funded, from what I understand. Contracting a certain number of beds, and they're apparently not meeting that expectation. I don't know what the repercussions are in the contract, but somebody has to inquire, but things are not getting done there that need to get done. I've heard several people talk about the difficulty getting people that need involuntary support into the facilities that can give that kind of support. The private hospitals are taking the involuntary people. They're telling the families that they have staff or able equipped to take the involuntary patients. That was supposed to be a backdrop, right? The Granite Hills. The private hospitals. But what we're hearing from people in the community who we get to connect with, the hospitals are taking involuntary. Rogers, a couple of facilities in the county, of course, a big facility in Waukesha County. Only way my son can't get in there. Son,
which is
it? Anything. You turn. He's on both Medicare and Medicaid. Can't get up into any needs. I did follow the operations a little bit because I speak to them in their CFT training. They don't remember being to speak to them. And went to the symposium last year. They're extremely frustrated by the length of the process, the amount of time it takes. They're going to move with an entire shift and maybe longer to get somebody to get on that for an evaluation. I've been told, I haven't been through the world, but I'm told that sometimes there are several squads just waiting outside and not getting people in. Now, I don't know if that's exactly right or not, but you're funding this. You have expectations of how it should be working and how people are supposed to be performing. And I really encourage you to check and to see if you're getting your money's worth.
Thank you, Rick. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to step up and speak?